We gotta find a paw print. That's the first clue. We put it in a notebook, and now what do we do? Blues.
Can I tell you something?
Yes.
I'm too excited. I can't talk.
I know. You usually like to take the intros on this. You threw it on me.
I can't do it.
I never thought in a million years when I was watching Blue's Clues with my now teenage boys and your 20-year-old daughters, did you ever think we'd be talking to Steve from Blue's Clues?
I dreamed it a million times. I never thought it'd be a reality, and here it is.
Steve Burns.
It's happening.
Oh, my God.
Steve, it's happening right now.
Can we just pay you the biggest compliment? And I'm sure you've heard this from plenty of people. We would watch Blue's Clues with our kids. We're not married to each other. We're married to different people. And then when the kids were out of the room, both Bill and myself, we'd find ourselves watching Blue's Clues alone without the kids. That's how good it was.
That's a little weird, though.
It is kind of weird.
That's a bit strange. You know, it was a show for 3 to 5 year olds, right?
We know that.
We're kids at heart.
Steve, I told Wendy this the other day. I'm not one who swears very much, but one day after you left and your brother, quote unquote, Joe, came on the show, I was watching the show by myself and I went, this is bull. And I swore and I turned the TV off. I said, if Steve can't be on the show anymore, I'm done with the Blue's Clues.
He's such a great guy.
He is a good guy.
He's not that great. I mean, he is no you. No one worked a green screen like you. I'm telling you.
Yeah, you know, I tease and I say it's a little Van Hagar, you know. it's not quite the same thing, but he's a super great guy, a good friend of mine.
All right,
well, we have to put all the rumors to rest, because when Steve Burns went away from Blue's Clues, there were a lot of rumors that were out there, like you died.
In Vietnam, okay. Some people said.
Oh, really?
And you weren't even born during the Vietnam conflict.
Some people said, you know, you are a musician and you wanted to pursue your musical interests and that's why you bailed. But none of those are true. Neither of those.
No, neither of those are true. Although the being a musician is closer to the truth than being dead. When I left Blue's Clues, when it was over, I did have the opportunity to lifetime to work with my favorite band and go on tour with them. But that was incidental. You know, coincidental. Sorry, that was coincidental. That wasn't the reason for leaving Blue's Clues. So.
And I know we'll talk about Steven, which is going on right now. You and Steven Drost, a Grammy Award-winning musical mastermind behind the Flaming Lips, and we'll talk about that. But really, why did you leave?
You know, it was just time to go. I, it's difficult for people to appreciate. I think, but I mean, I was. Really the only actor in every take of every shot every day on a blue screen. And it was pretty, pretty demanding stuff, you know, and I did it every bit as long as I could do it. And also, you know, there was a real sense that the show was changing, and that when we all started, it was kind of like a punk rock band, you know, it's just a small group of people, and they were all moving on to different careers and moving on to other exciting things in children's television. And it just felt like the right time to do it.
Steve,
it really is that simple. You know, there was, and there was sort of a sense that I felt personally that I was inhabiting this weird space on that show where I was maybe your older brother, maybe your weird neighbor, but kind of a kid, not really an adult, you know, something, you know, we were kind of inhabiting a strange little space there. And I was losing my hair rapidly, because when it just started to go like super fast. And I think I kind of looked around at my wardrobe and thought, there's no way these people are giving me any sort of dignified wig. So
that was that. You got along with Blue, though, right? Because that was the other rumor, that you and Blue did not see eye to eye. But that's ridiculous. It was an animated figure there. So
she's a pleasure. She was a pleasure to work with. She really was. Consummate professional.
What do you think it was about you that made people like Wendy and myself, even after our kids moved on to other shows, we wanted to keep watching you on the show? What were you doing that just captured our imaginations, do you think?
Well, I don't know. I would like to flatter myself and think that it was sincerity, and it was definitely a lot of extra detail that I was putting in there that isn't usually, I think, seen in kids' TV very often. And a lot of it wasn't me. I mean, a lot of it was just the brilliance of the show itself, you know, that I did not create. You know, there was an enormous amount of silence that we allowed to occur in Blue's Clues, and that's very arresting.
Mm-hmm. Which is kind of unheard of, like in radio and TV. Yeah. You don't usually have dead air.
You really don't, and you avoid it like the plague. You see what I just did there? But in Blue's Clues, we tried to use it as an asset whenever we could. It was one of the things that really attracted me to the show, actually. I thought it was so cool that we were going to actually get quiet on TV, you know?
Well, just, you know, I know kids thought that you were talking directly to them, but I kind of did, too. And yeah. I'm not the only woman, because People Magazine, you made their list of most eligible bachelors. And if you go to themoth.com and listen to Steve Burns talking about his date with a swimsuit model, a Playboy bunny, what was her deal? Because it's very interesting.
She was a model, but she had done modeling for Playboy, among other things. Mm. She was just a very, very beautiful person who was a model.
Did you have to look for clues about her? How did that play out? Instead of my business.
The way it played out is she sent me a picture, a very decent picture, just basically like a headshot.
Sure.
But she was clearly so gorgeous, and I thought it was a joke, obviously. There's no way that this person is sending me this picture. But, you know, my friend's kind of convinced. You can hear it all on The Moth, which I think is .org.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can hear the whole story there. It's actually pretty funny.
It is really funny.
It doesn't end with any sort of public dignity for me. But it is very funny.
And I love hearing about the thinking chair in a different light. So, yes, check that out on The Moth.
Yeah, the thinking chair, I'm actually looking at it right now. They gave me the original one, and it sits here in my little study. And I still use it all the time. That's where I read books for the most part.
Perfect. We're talking with Steve Burns from Blue's Clues, one of my favorite shows and Wendy's favorite shows as our children were growing up and beyond. Visit stevenstephen.com. All the information is there about Steve Burns' music. We're going to take a quick break, and then more with Steve Burns from Blue's Clues coming up next. Bill and Wendy, WGN. You know what? If this were The Voice, I would have spun my chair around already right now. That's how much I like this song.
Steve Burns on the line, and that's Stephen right there. You've got a great singing voice, sir.
Oh, I so don't, but that's so nice of you to say. I mean, it takes me 150 years to sing a song that simple. I mean, I really can't sing. if it weren't for recording studios, it would simply never happen.
Now, how did you hook up
with... I wish I could sing.
You can. You know, you're going to be your own worst critic on this. Stephen consists of Steve Burns and Stephen Drozd from The Flaming Lips. How long have you guys been doing work together?
Well, he and I made a record of my own personal adult music in 2003.
Adult music.
That got actually really good reviews that I think really just my mom and sister bought. We became friends then, and really good friends. I went on tour with the Flaming Lips and opened for them. And we just became buddies, really. And we stayed in touch. And then Nickelodeon asked me to write a song about a groundhog. And I asked Stephen if he would help me, and we wrote a Groundhog Day song, and it took about 10 minutes, and it was about the most fun we ever had. And while we were writing it, we actually stopped and said, we really need to make a whole record.
Beautiful.
Like this, because we just had such a good time. And it took us forever to release the record because, you know, he's raising a family in Oklahoma, and he's in a giant rock band, so we kind of had to do it on weekends when we both had time. So it kind of became the Chinese Democracy of children's albums, I guess.
And Steve, does it come up? Does your past come up often when you're touring, when you're doing jobs? Do people say, "Hey, we love what you're doing now, but boy, you meant so much to us not that long ago." That must come up a bit, huh?
It does, and I love it.
Good,
it's great, and it's actually the further away I get from Blues Clues, because that really does to me. It seems like several lifetimes ago.
Yeah.
At this point, but it just seems like such a gift that, I mean, people really appreciated that show. And from my perspective, I was working in an environment that just felt like the bottom of a swimming pool, and I was all by myself. It seemed very small to me when we were doing it, you know. And now, 20 years later, to look back, and I recently just met someone who grew up on me, who has children who watch Blues Clues. And, you know, after feeling extraordinarily old, it just felt awesome. You know, that's really cool. And I sometimes let myself think, you know, maybe I'm Grover to someone. It's just wonderful.
Yeah.
It's just great.
Well, to this day, when our mail arrives, I say to myself, we just got a letter. Let's find out who it's from. I can't help myself.
Well, here's something, you know, there are many ways in which my real life differs from that of Steve from Blues Clues, but one of the most profound ways is that I don't like getting mail. I really don't. I mean, when I would much rather receive email than physical mail.
Oh. Well, yeah, because it's usually a bill, isn't it?
It feels like homework. You know, it feels like what? What do you want from me?
Yeah.
What? What do I have to do with this?
It is a pleasure meeting you, and I am so glad that you are fond and have fond memories of your time at Blues Clues, because there are a lot of celebrities that don't want to remember where they came. And you do, and you're rocking it with Steve and Steven. You can pre-order the For Everywhere album in advance of its February 24th release, and we do that at stevenstephen.com.
That's right.
Will you come and see us when you're in Chicago? Come sit in the studio with us.
Sure thing.
We would love that. We're big fans.
I love Chicago.
Steve, thanks for being on with us. Greatly appreciated, and continued success to you.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
You too.
You as well.
That's Steve Burns, Steve from Blues Clues, and now an accomplished musician.
And go to themoth.org, I think he said.
To hear his story.
And just Google it, you know, Steve Burns with Playboy. It is just the way he tells a story. The whole thing about themoth.org is just storytelling. It's a storytelling podcast and website. Mm-hmm. And he does such a great job to this day. It's just, he does such a good job. Yeah. I'm a little smitten.
You should be. We'll take a break and then some news from the other Steve B., our favorite Steve B., and we say that because he's close by.